We are live.
Running a WordPress-centric news website is hard. Take it from me. I've got the experience. My advice to anyone wanting to start a WordPress news-centric website, especially if you think it's going to make you some money, is to stop immediately. Focus your efforts on where the real cash is: commercial plugins, themes, services, and consulting. A news-centric website takes so much time and energy to maintain and keep fresh. It's not worth it in the long run unless you have a company backing you, providing a steady stream of cash that pays the bills and puts food on the table. Every time I thought about it, I couldn't come up with a reason that I could use to convince someone else to pay me to sit on my ass and write about WordPress all day. The value and worth comes from writing code, not text. Fortunately, there's a WordPress wizard that valued my contribution to the community so much he granted me the opportunity of a lifetime to sit on my ass and write about WordPress all day. Now, when's the last time you heard of a tavern keeper that didn't like beer? Chances are, never. So let me be the first to tell you that I'm Jeff Chandler, tavern keeper of WPTavern.com, and I don't like beer, but I love me a fizzy pop. And I'm Jeff Chandler, and the Dragcast starts now.
From the depths of internet magic and the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's tough.
You know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold. Drag.
For the Dragcast, bringing you the latest in WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop. Talking shop with community leaders and innovators.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
Yes!
Now, we bring you your favorite Santan alumni. The craziest prior military geeks you'll ever meet. Your favorite WordPress personalities, Dre Armada and Brad Williams. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dragcast starts now.
All right, we are back for episode 16 of the best podcast in the history of the internet, the Dragcast. Dre, man, what happened to your face?
It shrank and it grew less hair. So I don't know what the hell happened here, but here we go today.
You look about 10 pounds lighter, my friend.
No longer a furry Cuban, just a guy with a nice shadow. So there we are.
And you still have a better 5 o'clock shadow than I will ever have. But it's good to see you again, brother.
Good to see you. This is from like this morning, man. It grows like roots. I don't know what that's
going on. Oh my gosh. And look who we got on the air here. If you don't know who this is the one, the only, the Jeffro, the tavern keeper, the Mr. Fizzy Pop himself, Jeff Chandler from WP Tavern. Jeff, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on?
Glad to be on the show.
It is going. Are you getting that little itch back? This is I think you said this is the first time you've been on the air since WordPress Weekly ended. Is that correct?
That's right. This is the first time you managed to drain me out of the cage. You know, I'm not going to lie. I am nervous, and I don't do video, but I said, you know, you show me the numbers on that check. I said, okay, I'll do it.
Yes, the big check that we give all of the hosts of this show.
Yeah.
Now people got to expect that.
Yeah, and I'll say that too loud. Chris Lemma's in the room. He's going to be like, holy crap, I still haven't gotten mine the mail message.
John's also in there. Where's my check? I was number two. It's great to have you on, man. We got a pretty awesome show, so I'm very, very stoked to have
you
on.
Well, you know, it's only fitting that we got the tavern here, and we're going to go ahead and raise the bar tonight. We need to figure out what we're sipping on. So, fellas, what are we drinking? What are we sipping on tonight? What you got going on over there, Brad?
I have a little blueberry vodka and club soda, so I'm going to call it blub soda.
Yeah.
And you can't see it. Maybe you can, but I actually am rocking, maybe a little bit, a brand new Simplify Web Design pint glass sent over from my buddies Michael and Steve at Simplify Web Design. So very, very cool glass. One of the nice ones I've seen. Etched. Love it. So makes the drink taste that much better.
Awesome. What about you there, tavern keeper?
Well, we'll get into this later in the show, because normally I didn't drink, and I have Brad to thank for my drinking habits now, but I'm sipping on a Mike's Hard Smashed Apple Cider, and it tastes pretty darn good, and it comes in a bottle that looks like beer, so...
Hey, good enough for
I expected like a big like Stein mug like frothing over the edge, you know, while you're sitting in the tavern.
Well, just like my Twitter avatar, huh?
That would have been outstanding. You should have done that. Well, folks, I'm drinking one of San Diego's finest with a nice stone pale ale. Mm-hmm. Always delicious, always refreshing. Wow. So, hey, look, this episode is brought to you by Gravity Forms. Who would have thought? These guys are awesome. We need to talk more about them. You need to start using them if you're not using them already. They just released version 1.7 of the world's greatest contact forms for WordPress. It just doesn't get any easier than Gravity Forms, folks. Visual form editors, multi-page forms, order forms, conditional fields, they've got it. If you want it, come and get it Sunday. Head over to gravityforms.com and go check them out. Oh, man. Yes, sir. This stone is really good, actually. I'm very, very proud to be drinking this right now.
Cannot go wrong with stone. So let's get into it, man. We got an awesome host. Jeff, you've been around for a long time, and we actually have quite a bit of history together. So I'm excited to have you on the show and kind of talk about that history. So let's talk about that. You know, obviously, most people know you for the WP Tavern, but we've actually known each other a little bit longer than that, and it kind of predates the tavern. So let's talk about, you know, when you first got into, you know, kind of the internet and web and even more specifically WordPress.
Well, it's a long time ago. I was thinking about this the other day, actually. This was around the days of Counter-Strike, when Counter-Strike was first released. And that was somewhere around the time when Quake 3 Arena was also released. I was a big-time gamer back in the day. And
I like how your milestones are based around games. That's cool.
Well, it's easier for me to remember that way. And I remember we were operating this one website. I was with a buddy. I was in a clan. And one of the site administrators lived down in Atlanta. We used to talk on AOL Instant Messenger, if that's still around at the time. And we were talking back and forth, and we were creating this clan-based website. And at the time, I had no idea what a content management system was. I was still in the realm of learning HTML, static pages, things of that nature. And he introduced me to something that was called PostNuke. And PostNuke was my first introduction of not having to worry about static pages. There were fields that you could fill in to where normally you would have to upload a file, an HTML file, for those changes to display. And this was all handled in the back end of a website. And PostNuke was like the greatest thing I've ever learned about at that time. And from there, I learned about there was PHP Nuke, I think it was the other one, versus Post Nuke. And then over the years, I got involved with, I was involved with Mambo, the clan I was a part of, we ended up moving from Counter-Strike to Battlefield, and I was with a big Battlefield team. I love the Battlefield series. Don't get me started on it, because I think EA ruined the franchise, but that's for another show, maybe another podcast. But that's how I feel as a customer. So I was a website administrator, so I was responsible for content, talking about our matches, things of that nature. So I was always looking for a content management system that would make things really easy for me. And that's where I stumbled upon something called Mambo. And for those who don't know, I'm not sure if Mambo's still around, but there was a fork created from Mambo called Joomla. And I know Mambo was owned by a corporation, or there was some corporate entity. And boy, you know, you want to... It's interesting, if I think back about the fork and what happened there between Mambo and Joomla, it was almost disastrous. It really split the community. There was a lot of issues going on between corporates and the proprietary stuff versus Joomla wanting to open source the code. But as a guy from an outsider looking in, I ended up staying with Joomla, and I thought Joomla was the bee's knees, best thing I ever used. And then fast forward to, let's say, 2007, I decided to start up a website where I wanted to review all the different Web 2.0 sites and services that were springing up. I mean, they were springing up everywhere. You name it, they had a generator for it. All the pretty colors and the domains, missing files like Flickr and all that. And I started a domain called jeffro2.0.com. And Brad's probably very familiar with that.
That's when we first interacted, right? It was Jeffro 2.0, which was, looking back, it was like the hardest spelling to try to tell somebody.
Yes.
But was it a zero? Or no, just Jeffro and then 2PT0 or something?
Yes, it was one of the worst domain names I probably could have ever imagined.
I would love to tell someone how to spell that over the phone.
But so I had the domain, and I'm thinking about, well, what do I want to use the power to create this content and manage it? So I initially thought Joomla, because I knew Joomla very well. Well, it turns out that I really just wanted to blog. I just wanted to publish content. And at the time, Joomla didn't have comments out of the box. And adding comments to Joomla was such a pain in the rear. and it was really one of the core features I wanted. And outside of that, Joomla also had a number of cool themes. A lot of stuff was commercial, albeit, but they had a lot of different cool designs. And Joomla just ended up being too much for what I wanted to use it for. So I ended up getting this thing called WordPress. And I'm not sure how I came across it, who told me about it, but I looked into it. And I saw a couple things on the WordPress.org website. Says, I'll give this a try. And the funny thing is I installed it, and I started messing around with the templating. And I said, this sucks. You know, this is terrible. I can't get around this. The PHP code, this is a nightmare. I've been down this road. I'm going to go back to Joomla. So I started going back to Joomla, and I'm pulling my hair out again. I says, I can't do this. I'm going to take a deep breath, go back to WordPress. And once I gave WordPress a second try, that was it. I stuck with it. And I realized that once I started to get familiar with code snippets and functions and started to realize how awesome those things were, where I didn't have to, as a user, worry about editing big blocks of PHP code, that I could just edit a couple parameters in those functions, that's when things really started to open up for me and how just awesome WordPress was.
And going back to Jeffro 2.0, I mean, you kind of started that site. I remember you were blogging, you know, it was back when the whole Web 2.0 was the big craze. That was like the buzz term. You know, you had a lot of sites.
Yeah, the second tech bubble.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about kind of user interaction and user-generated content. And so you were writing about a lot of the services and websites that were popping up like every day and with quite a bit of passion. So is that really the first time you gotten passionate around writing about, you know, stuff on the web?
No, it's interesting you bring that up. There was a website that, this is way before I even knew about WordPress, but it was a website called EFX2.com. And looking back at it now, I know that EFX2 was actually a WordPress.com. You would go to the website, you would sign up, you would get a username.EFX2.com. type of website, and then there was different themes you could choose from, and there were different things that you could edit to kind of stylize and customize your design. And what I thought was so cool about that blogging network that I was a part of was the social interaction, where if you went to the front page, you could see all the new posts on the blogging network. It was a tight-knit community. People were commenting on each other's posts, and it was really cool to be able to just publish stuff and tinker around with designs and stuff like that. And it's interesting thinking back on it now, because it was like the WordPress.com that I knew of without knowing about WordPress.com. So it was pretty cool. But that's when I really first got started, really started loving publishing stuff, just random thoughts and whatnot.
Very cool, yeah. And so going back, and I was kind of going through the WP Tavern archives, as best I can tell, it looks like you launched WP Tavern very early in 2008. Is that right? I'm assuming you probably launched it late 2007, but really started kind of pushing content in 2008. Where did the idea come from? Where did they, you know, because that's obviously you, at that point you said WordPress is what I want to write about, one specific platform versus all these other 2.0, Web 2.0 services out there. So how did you kind of decide, hey, I really like WordPress, I want to write about that a lot?
So getting back to the Jeffro 2.0 days, since I was using WordPress, I wanted to keep up to date with what was going on. So I subscribed to the RSS feeds for all the different WordPress type of websites that were out there. I was writing news and tidbits about releases, about plugins I came across, and I just started developing this love and this passion for this piece of software, because the more I used it at the time, the more I felt, how could I say, exhilarated, you know, that I, as an end user, were able to go in and edit the code, not really have to worry so much about breaking the website, although I did a couple of times, but to add the different plugins and everything like that, I wanted to share how easy it was to do all that and share my experiences with other people. So I ended up publishing a lot of WordPress content on Jeffro2.0.com, and out of the blue one day, I get this email from a guy named Mark Ghosh, who at the time operated weblogtoolscollection.com. And he writes me an email, and this was in December of 2007. He says, how would you like to get paid to write about WordPress? And I'm thinking, okay, you know, I guess that's cool. You know, I already enjoy, I love writing about WordPress already, and if I could get paid to do it, just sign me up. So, right. So
cash rule everything around me.
So I start writing for him. I talk to him. I do some collaboration with him, and I start writing for him for WebLawToolsCollection.com for, I want to say, at least maybe for 6 months. And some of the best stuff I ever wrote was on WebLawToolsCollection.com. And Mark was fantastic to work for and to write for. And at the time, it was such a great experience to publish content on WebLawToolsCollection.com, because at the time, that was like the big honcho. That was like the big website outside of the WordPress.org official blog. WebLawToolsCollection.com was in the dashboard. So anything you posted there showed up in every WordPress install in the world. I mean, talk about, you know, exposure.
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, that's just completely, yeah. You were bamboozled, I tell you.
That made me a little nervous, to be honest. Even back then, I mean, we're talking, you know, probably mid to end of 2007, so obviously not nearly as many users as there are now, but still a lot of users in WordPress, right? Still a lot of exposure. Sure. So going from just kind of doing it as a hobby to kind of getting that much exposure had to be a little nerve-wracking at first.
It was a little nerve-wracking at first, but being on WebLawToolsCollection.com really gave me a sense of responsibility because of being in the dashboard. I didn't want to write crappy stuff, and because of being in the dashboard, I put my best foot forward because I knew it was going to be exposed to a lot of people, and that's why I think some of the best stuff I ever wrote was on WebLawToolsCollection.com.
And if anyone out there doesn't have a blog where they write about a little more technical stuff, it is nerve-wracking because, I mean, even when I first started doing it, my initial reaction was, I'm going to write something that's incorrect and somebody's going to call me out. And that concerned me. And I finally said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to do the best that I can to make sure what I write about is accurate. And if somebody calls me out, I'll handle it properly and update the post and give them credit. And it happened. And to be honest, you know what? That's how I learned early on was, hey, some of the things I said weren't accurate, but someone would call me out, I would fix it, and I would learn and move on. And that's how I think I kind of got my chops for writing a little bit and really got into, you know, the book arena. And don't think I would have done that had I not had that, you know, been that out there with some of the stuff I was writing about early on. It sounds like that might be the case with you too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, I remember back in your days, you were running batteries.com, and then all of a sudden you started, I created this podcast called WordPress Weekly, and you came on the show with me, and next thing you know, we're rocking the world of WordPress. And boy, look at this. Fast forward till today, and now the shoe's on the other foot.
Happened? You're on my show. How do you like that?
So, hey, how's batteries.com going for you, Jeff?
No, that was me. I was at batteries.com.
I know. Terrible, man. A horrible joke there.
Dead batteries.
Deadbatteries.net.
Oh, hang on. I'm not quick enough.
Shoes on the other foot.
Let's talk about WordPress Weekly because, again, the first episode you published on the website, January 5th, 2008. So you're talking, this is over 5 years ago. Can you believe it's been that long? And no. I actually listened to this episode today.
Please don't play any of it on the air.
If anyone's listening to this show, they need to go back and listen to this episode because it is a masterpiece. It's almost like an early Van Gogh, you know, like he wasn't who he was when he was famous, but his early stuff is now worth a lot, right? Go back and maybe not quite.
It's worth so much that somebody paid me for WPTammer.com.
So let's talk about WordPress Weekly, because prior to WordPress Weekly, I think there was one podcast that I knew of by Charles Strickland called the WordPress Podcast, right? Or WordPress is, I think it was a WordPress podcast.
I think it was a WordPress podcast by Charles Strickland, and at the time, David Peralti.
And is that where you got the inspiration to start WordPress Weekly?
Yes. Yes, it was the WordPress podcast, and it was also Leo Laporte's show. He does This Week in Tech, where he brought on a bunch of people where it's a roundtable every week, and they just talk about the news tech stories of the week. And, you know, I figured I listened to the WordPress podcast, and they would cover the different news stories, and then they would have an interview and things like that, but I was just never satisfied with their show. I always thought you could do something more. I always thought they weren't talking about everything they should be talking about. Like, they should be talking about more news stories, what's going on in the community. So that's when I decided, okay, you know what? I'm going to go all in, and I'm going to start my own show, and I'm going to talk about what interests me. And it just so happens that when I started doing that, a number of other people loved what I was talking about, and I think what a lot of people loved is that I was giving, I was not tied to any time limit. I gave topics the attention that they deserved. We could really talk things out. You know, you can only...
Well, you talked them out all right.
Yeah, you can only do so much discussion around a topic in comment forums, and sometimes emotions can get way out of whack, as we've seen before in some of the GPL debates. But when you bring people on together and you start talking about things and you see everybody's buddy-buddy, and I think you can really get different thoughts and different views and different perspectives on how people feel about certain topics when you do the audio route. And I think that's one of the crowning jewels of what WordPress Weekly had to offer and why so many people gravitated around it. Because they finally had an outlet where they could voice their concerns, and they knew that a lot of other people would listen to that show.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to be on the first few episodes of WordPress Weekly. It was honestly the first. I had been on a few other podcasts just as like a quick guest. Really had no idea what I was doing. This is the first show I'd actually been on where I was, you know, kind of one of. I was on the whole show. I was kind of, you know, one of the, like you said, one of the panel members. So it was definitely a big turning point in my life as far as podcasting. That's what really kind of got the passion for me to start doing this, and I've been doing it ever since, you know, 5+ years later. So it's definitely cool to kind of go back and listen to some of these early shows. You ran WordPress Weekly for a long time. How many? I was trying to find the total number of episodes, and I don't have it in front of me. Do you know how many episodes you ended up with?
It's over 100.
Over 100.
I'm not sure the exact number. If I can, I might be able to look it up here really quick if it loads. 117.
117. And I think that's one of the things that drew people to the show was the consistency in which you produce shows. I mean, it was every Friday like clockwork. Every single Friday, WordPress Weekly was on. You know, so it was a guarantee it was on. I think you only missed maybe a handful of Fridays in that entire time. So that's definitely was, you know, hugely respected by everybody that listened. And people like me that kind of have since been podcasting ever since because of that. So you're definitely a trendsetter, my friend, and I appreciate that and want to thank you for that. But let's fast forward a little bit because we do only have an hour, and we know Jeff likes to talk. So you were doing WordPress Tavern for a while, many, many years, and then it came to a point where you had to make a decision. You weren't making enough money, right? So tell us about the decision that came when you kind of stepped away from Tavern and what was going through your mind.
You know, before we head that direction, let's go ahead and move into the next segment here, and then we can continue moving on to, because I think that's a great point. I think that a lot of people that maybe weren't on for the initial the onset of WP Tavern and the show and everything there may have only caught the tail end. So I think context is going to certainly bring to attention a lot of cool stuff around where it went and where it's going. Pressing Topics is brought to you this week by Maintain. That's Maintain with two N's, professional WordPress support and maintenance service on any host. Go head over to maintain.com, and if you're interested in signing up, you get 30% off any plan for the first 3 months if you entered the code DRADCAST. So go check them out. They're awesome friends of the show, and this week, Pressing Topics is brought to you by Maintain. So with that, on to the real news. So WordPress news sites, you know, you were around for a while. What transpired to move you away from continuing? I mean, you did come to a crossroads, as Brad said. Where did it go? What happened?
Well, I'll do a long story short, so I'm lying already. But but I operated WP Tavern for a long time, and I was going through the process of, you know, I always viewed myself as a content producer. I really had no interest in marketing, doing affiliates, doing all that stuff you got to do, sell ads, display advertising, and all that other junk. But I had to in order to make some money. And I discovered that display advertising was very inconsistent. I had almost begged people to buy ads. Affiliate was based on luck and just hoping somebody would come across that review and click on it and buy through me. And I got to the point where I was like begging people to buy stuff through me and to buy my ads. And I was spending more time generating content around that would make me money instead of generating content that really interested me. And I felt like sharing across to the community. So I operated the tavern for as long as I could under affiliate links and display advertising until I got to the point where it was not consistent enough to where I felt comfortable of being able to do it full time. And there was a point in time where I was so excited, I cut myself back from full time where I worked at my grocery store job to one day a week, and I was really hammering out WPTavern.com, but I just wasn't able to pay the bill. So I had to go back to mostly full time work at the store as I tried to figure out what was going on with WPTavern.com. And it just finally got to the point where I said, you know, I got too many bills here. I got to figure out what's going on here. I got to get out of the community. I got to sell the site. So I had a couple of big bills. I wanted to get a new truck, and I had some other things going on in my life at the time. So I says, okay, I'm just going to sell the site for $7,000. And I didn't evaluate my post. I didn't give myself the correct value in anything I did.
Man, why do you come to me? Come on, man. I thought we're friends here. What's going on?
I know. You got that kind of money in your couch, right?
Wow. So, hey, big money money bags Williams over here.
Yes.
Hey, what's that cha-ching sound effect?
Where I keep all my large bills.
Yeah, man.
So
you're now sponsored by Brad Williams.
Yes. You know me.
So I'm passing around the site around for $7,000 looking to see who's going to buy it. And there's a couple people that were interested in it. Joost de Valk, he was interested in purchasing the site. And then Ryan of WBCandy.com at the time. I don't think I'll get in trouble for saying names now that everything's after the fact, but he showed interest in buying the domain. And I also had some interest for some other people. And just at the moment while I was getting ready to finalize the deal, I got in touch with Matt, and I talked to Matt, and I says, this is what's going on. I need this kind of money. I'm getting out of the community. What do you think? He says, well, how much are you asking for? I says, I'm going to sell the site for $7,000. He goes, are you kidding me? He goes, you're severely undervaluing your work and your content and what you've done. And he says, you know what? I'll double that amount. Here you go. And he wrote me a check, and he bought the site just like that. I mean, it was awesome. So he gives me a check for around $14,000 for the site, and next thing you know, he's the new owner of the tavern. And a lot of people didn't know it at the time that he was the owner for the site for, gosh, over a year at least, and which was pretty fun at the time because everyone was like, "Who's the new owner? Who's the new owner?" And you know, I knew, but I get to watch everybody guess, and a lot of people actually got it right.
Well, I will tell you that for some people that wasn't entirely fun. So let's step back a second.
I loved it because Jeff had told me early on, so I was like, I know.
let's add a little different perspective because I think that after a while, maybe if what started out to be a little fun, maybe you got a little bit juvenile, I think, from certain people's opinions. And I'm not to knock it because I'll tell you, Jeff, I respect you. I respect what the tavern's done. I was part of that community. I enjoyed the content that came out of it, and I still – completely respect you and what's hopefully to come there because I hope it's really revived in a big way. But the way that some of that may have been handled, I mean, if you had to do it all over again, would you turn around and maybe handle it a little differently? Not just in the sense of keeping that a secret, but for such a long time, one. And then two, there was a lot of emotion with what you had created there. Getting rid of that, especially with personal situations and things going on, that's a challenging spot. Remember, I had a community as well that I let go of because of a lot of similar reasons. So I could certainly appreciate some of the things that you went through, but I think some of that personal emotion really pushed over into what the whole idea was behind the tavern, and I think that may have clouded it for some folks. I mean, maybe would you have handled it the same way if you had to do it all over again today?
Well, when you mean handling it, do you mean selling of the website? Or do you mean handling after it was purchased and going so long without telling people?
You're talking more about the announcement around who
was. I think the announcement, I think a lot of the personal discussions on some of the official mediums that were part of WP Tavern and the Tavern brand. Because I think a lot of your personal bled over there. And I think that may have overwhelmed some of the validity behind the actual source of news that it was.
Well, let's just say when the purchase went down, it was requested that Matt keep it. It was requested by Matt that we keep this under wraps. And I says, okay, I can deal with that. So I respected his decision to keep it under wraps, and we kept it under wraps for a long time. And at the time, I had no idea what he was going to do with the website. I had no idea. I thought he was the owner and whatnot. And it just so happens that two or three weeks after he had purchased the site, I says, hey, how about I maintain the website for you for a certain amount of money every 2 weeks? He says, okay, we could do that. So I was able to get paid by him at the time to continue maintaining the WP Tavern website. And it goes on and on and on and on. And then eventually, you know, that's when I came across writing this post about WordPress news sites in the Bermuda Triangle, where I finally got to the point where I said I had a mortgage payment, you know, I had bills and all that other stuff that goes with the personal life, and I figured, you know what, I've tried everything I could think of to make money with WPTavern.com, doing stuff that I'm interested in, and I've come to the conclusion that running a WordPress news site is very hard. At the prime of the website where I had a lot of people contributing and whatnot, I would spend 8, 9, 10 hours a day just pumping out content, writing, interacting with people on Twitter, responding to comments, and all I would do is think to myself, who's going to pay me to sit on my ass and do that all day? So I couldn't think of that, and I couldn't think of, you know, I was looking at the different ways to make money, and it just wasn't happening. So I said, you know what, if you're going to write a WordPress news-centric website for the goal of making money, you know, just stop, you know. Stop now while you have the chance and do something else, you know. And I was looking at Gravity Forms, these guys on ThemeForest making one theme, making millions of dollars. I says, what am I doing here? You know, I'm creating all this content, busting my ass. I says, I should just make a theme or make a plugin and make millions of dollars. I guess it's that simple, which it's not, but that's how it came across. So I says,
it's not? Oh, man.
that's what I decided to.
Somebody told me it was going
to
be easy. That's what I was getting at.
I know.
That's when I decided to give it up and say, that's it, I'm gone, I got to go find a new career, I got to do something completely different and make some money and work on my personal life. And that at that time, Scott Riley had got in touch with me, and he says, well, what would it take to get you to stay on and write for WP Tavern? What would make you happy? What could we do to get you to stick around? So we negotiated some things, and then we got Matt involved and negotiated some things, and at the end of the day, I was able, he offered me an opportunity of a lifetime, I accepted, and you know, from a personal stance, dealing with the fact that everybody was questioning, and all their concerns were valid about.
Well, I think, you look at even your Twitter handle right now, until the last couple of weeks, there's still a lot of personal content coming off of the WP Tavern thing, right? So I think that's confusing. It's misleading in some instances. People are like, well, what's really going on with it? Is it coming back? Irrelevant of who owns it. I mean, what's going to happen with it? I think that's more what I was getting at. There's a lot of personal overlap onto the actual brand and what the actual content and stuff was supposed to be.
Well, let's talk about that. So now that it sounds like, you know, he purchased it and that happened a while ago, but now it sounds like this is basically, unless I misunderstand, this is your full-time gig. You are back at the tavern. You are writing content. You are going to be doing this for your job. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, I am an employee. Matt is my boss, and I work for Audrey Company. So, you know, that's the deal there. And my job is to run the tavern, to help create the community. That was my initial goal for the website. And Matt's primary role is just being an advisor. He doesn't tell me how to write content. He doesn't tell me what to write about. Every now and then he might suggest a site, service, or theme that he thinks is cool that might maybe I should put out there in front of everyone else. But outside of that, he's just standing back. He's given me an opportunity of a lifetime to write and do what I love, and he's just a hands-off approach kind of guy.
Well, first and foremost, congratulations. That is super freaking awesome.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Yeah, that's awesome, and I'm excited to see what's coming because, again, it was a huge resource before, and there's nothing stopping it from being kick-ass and moving forward. This post that you wrote, about the Bermuda Triangle and man, you're not the only one that went through these things. So I had a small property that I ended up selling that was doing similar stuff that was WordPress centric content. There's been many that have come and gone. I mean, the latest one being sucked up by the rainstorms in the middle of Bermuda is WP Candy. It came to stardom, a bunch of awesome content, looked to get overwhelmed, maybe spread out too thin, and then it imploded. It's no longer really somewhere where you're seeing a lot of content from. A lot have done that. I mean, what the hell's going on here? I mean, there's a lot of people hungry for this type of content, and the news is it a sustainability thing? Does it come really to the personal drive and passion to talk and discuss all things WordPress versus being able to build a sustainable business model around something like this? Where do we go to be able to sustain these things short of having a Matt Mullenweg being able to drive financially?
Well, if I had the answer, I'd be doing that, and I wouldn't be employed by Matt.
Yeah,
you know, in the beginning, WP Tavern was truly a passion of mine. I did it because I loved it. I still do it now because I love it, but at the time, it was all strictly passion-driven. just something I want to do, something, a goal that I set out for myself. Wanted to see how far I could push myself and where I could take this site. But as I started to spend more and more time on it, the need to somehow make money was there. You know, if I'm going to spend 8 or 9 hours on a computer just typing out content, interacting with people, I got to be making money somehow, or else my wife's not going to like this, or I'm going to have to cut some expenses out. I'm going to have to figure something out. I don't know the answer to, I mean, basically at the end of the post, I pretty much said that, you know, unless you have somebody backing you, or if there's some way you could provide yourself a steady stream of income, whether that's consulting, whether that's selling stuff on the side, whether that be themes or plugins, that I don't know if there is a way to run a WordPress news-centric website.
I think it's a little bit of
financial backing like that.
From what I've seen, and I don't have the direct experience that you or like a WP Candy would have, but from what I've seen on the outside and being a little involved with these websites, I think it's a mixture of revenue. I also think it's burnout is a very big factor.
Yes, it is.
Because I've seen your site, WP Candy, it seems to be a lot of it is a one-man operation. WP Candy had a lot of different writers, but at the end of the day, Ryan was the one with the finger on the publish button, and I feel like there's this kind of burnout effect. I think WP Candy's done it the most successful that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
He found some very creative ways to bring in income outside of just ads. You know, there was kind of the pro section that you could have a free profile about your services, and you could pay to have a more featured, prominent profile. There was also the quarterly, which, you know, I don't know if he made money off of it. We've only seen one issue, but so he was trying to get creative in ways to make money. So I feel like there's money there to be made. I think the burnout factor is as much of it as anything. Is that, did you experience a little bit of the burnout when you were kind of running the tavern prior to the buyout?
Oh, of course I did. No, there were my times where if I didn't write a post within 2 or 3 days, then that would turn into a week, that would turn into a week and a half. I wasn't very consistent. There were some nights where I'd write 6 posts and go a week without writing any. You know, I have a lot of respect to give a lot of props to Ryan for what he did with WP Candy. When WP Tavern kind of fell off the wayside, fell off the bandwagon, WP Candy was like right there and shot to the top. You know, I was watching Twitter, I was watching from the sidelines, and WP Candy was like the place to be. That's where everybody was hanging out. That was the new WP Tavern. That was the cool place. And
I think that proves that there's a market for this content. I know you mentioned your Bermuda Triangle post that you're not sure if there is, but I think there absolutely, I know there absolutely is, because when the tavern disappeared, there was a void, and WP Candy took advantage of that. And like you said, he did amazing things, but there was that void that needed to be filled, and they filled it.
There's also a trust factor here, folks, and I think that we got to watch out for burnout on the other side in the core audience that is going to come and visit these websites. So you've got something like WP Tavern, which was the staple of WordPress news for quite a long time, and then that turned into WP Candy, and they both have kind of went away. Now, it was a little bit worse off with WP Candy because I think there were some financial implications in terms of things that people had paid for that maybe they didn't receive, or the expectations were kind of offset there. So now they might have... Yeah, they have a sour taste in their mouth, and now we've got other up-and-coming resources. Does that maybe push them away from adopting as strongly as they would have a WP Tavern or WP Candy back in the day?
I'm not sure. I mean, then again, nowadays, I mean, you got to question whether, I mean, is there really a, that's one of the other things I'm struggling with, too, is if WP Cameron disappeared, if WP Candy disappeared, if WP Daily disappeared, I mean, would there really be a void? You have Twitter, you got all the WordPress people sharing links, you got RSS feeds, you got all these ways of getting content.
No way, we would double up on shows and people would be here on the Dragcast twice a week.
We would fill the void.
Word sesh every weekend.
I don't
want
to fill that void, trust me, but we could do it. But no, I think there would be a void, and the people who are going to fill it are most of the ones that have businesses centered around WordPress. You know,
certainly.
My business, we build websites and applications around WordPress. When WP Tavern or Candy or Daily writes about something we do, we see immediate impact of traffic and eyes and discussions and things around what they talked about. We see that. People selling products, when they review it or talk about how cool this product is, they see an uptick in sales. When people talk about security, I bet they see an uptick in hits to the site, if not also signups.
I can
vouch for that. So I think people with services and products around WordPress do absolutely know there's a need for a solid, a couple different resources, more than just one. So there's a great point in the chat room Adam brought up that I want to mention around WP Daily and us, a lot of these content sites I think they're springing up now is they have a lot of these sites like WP Daily, they already have a set revenue stream. They're not doing WP Daily like you did with Tavern where they have to make enough money on that website to survive, right? They're already making plenty of money to survive off of 8-bit, right?
Right.
Same with what we're doing here on the Dradcast. Dre and I are like, we're doing this for fun. This is a hobby. We really enjoy talking about WordPress. We love doing this show. If we make a dollar, that's freaking cool, right? Because, I mean, we don't need it to survive, but if we can make some money and roll that back into the show and roll that back into maybe going to some events or getting some stickers or whatever it may be.
Yeah, so just to talk about the sponsorship stuff, what the point of that is to get tools that we can use to build on the show, right? Stickers, T-shirts, all that type of fun stuff that we can take to conferences, mm-hmm. conference trips, to be able to go talk and really chat up the news. So just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, I mean, we're not in this to make money. Dre and I said that up front. Any money that we get's rolling right back into the show, rolling right back into what we're doing. Yep. You know, we are making a little bit of money, but it's not something we could quit our jobs, not even close, obviously. So I think that's kind of the change, what a lot of us from the outside have seen, what happened with Tavern, what happened with Candy a little bit, that starting something up, you don't start it to have to survive off of it. You start it already having a revenue stream, and it's something else you want to do on top of that, which I think helps, right? So it's not as critical that you make, you know, you hit this bottom line every month that you need to survive.
Yeah.
Well, good news is I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Exactly. So now you can write. So, I mean, I guess going back to the Tavern, you know, what can we expect? Is you know, you've had a lot of great content coming out recently. It's obvious that you're right back in the game. You're really getting back in touch. Do you have plans for something of the audio variety or maybe video variety?
Well, I do plan on bringing back WordPress Weekly in some form or another. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm on your show, to check out Google Hangout for myself. I mean, you thought it's because
I'm just going to steal everything we're doing. watch your show in a week, and it'll have, like, our intro.
Well, isn't your show licensed under the GPL? Can I, like, modify it and reuse things, like the intro and stuff?
Dude, I say run with it, man. As long as you invite us to come be on the show, I am totally for it.
Yeah. I'll allow you to use that sound clip only. And you can use it as much as you want.
Yeah. Yeah, I plan on bringing back the show. I love what this Google Hangout provides. I think that'll be something really cool. Yeah. And I think something like WordPress Weekly.
I don't know if you've seen it already, but also around the Tavern and when you launched it, that was, again, like I said, early on as far as WordPress really becoming more mainstream. And I think now the user base we know is way larger than it was, you know, easily 5 years ago. So I think that it's now is the time where that content's as important as ever, because there's so many users on WordPress, so many new users every day. I mean, it's running, like, I think it passed the 18% mark now of the websites, top million websites, 18%. So, I mean, it's insane how large it is now. So, I mean, I think now's the absolute peak that it's ever been, and we know that. So I think you're going to see a lot of success at W Tavern, and everybody's very excited that you're back.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back.
So let me know how I can help from a security standpoint. I am ready to be at your service, my friend.
Yeah, and if you need, you know, somebody to help carry the first new show, WordPress Weekly, you know, I guess I'll throw my name back in the ring. And I helped you the first time around. I guess I could do it again.
Well, gee, Brad, it's the least I could do since I'm the reason for all your success here.
Man, that's awesome. I will be the mediator. This would be really good. Man, splitting it in the middle, I think that is a good call, and that's something that has been a point of discussion lately when it comes to themes and plugins. There's a recent article that came out here. Actually, it's piggybacking on something that Brian Krogsgaard had written about. Do not buy WordPress themes that bundle premium plugins. Now, that's a novel idea, but when we step back and thinking about those popular themes or plugins or themes with plugins that we see in places like ThemeForest, does it really matter how they're bundled when it comes to the end user that's going to be purchasing that? Should that dictate how these things are created and sold? I'm not quite sure, but what is your guys' take on this whole post here that was released here recently about that?
My take, that's plain and simple, it's a dick move. You know, that's, but you know what, when you live and breathe the GPL, you open yourself up to dick moves, right? So it's completely, you know, legal under the GPL. Is it, should it be acceptable? No, absolutely not. If I purchase a theme or if I sell a theme, and I try to include things like Gravity Forms or these other premium plugins, I'm deceiving the customer at that point because I'm giving them a premium plugin. I'm not violating any license. I'm giving them something that I can do legally under the GPL, but I'm really shortchanging that customer on what they're getting. They're thinking, hey, I buy this theme for $50 and I get Gravity Forms. I'm saving money and I get this and that. When at the end of the day, they're going to get a copy of Gravity Forms. There's no guarantee it's the current copy or the latest copy. They're not going to get any updates. They're not going to get any support. If they go to Gravity Forms and say, hey, this isn't working, I need help, they're going to say, did you buy this? Do you have a support license? No, I bought this theme. Well, talk to the theme author because you didn't buy this. So, and a lot of the customers aren't even going to understand that. They're not going to know that. So they're really just screwing their customers, right? I mean, it's a terrible practice. I think it's
all in the delivery, right? So I agree with you in that context, 100%. Now, if I have the security plugin that's part of our premium theme, which is GPL as well, and you go and bundle that with your awesome theme that you've created, but we've worked that out, and on our back end, we're figuring out the revenue stream and all of that, and everything's being updated, and they're getting the legitimate product that is supported by both vendors, I certainly don't have an issue with that. But it needs to be supported by both vendors, and it can't be this sneaky...
Like an official bundle type of thing.
Yeah, like a reseller account.
Absolutely cool.
Yeah, as long as it's bundled in a reseller capacity where both vendors are legitimately supporting that, I don't see a problem with that because now that's a win-win-win, right? Win for me, win for you, my partner in this venture, and the end user getting two kick-ass products. But in the way that they're dropping this, and these folks are bundling stuff like old versions of Gravity Forms that need licenses and so on for support, that is a super dick move, and I absolutely think you should not be buying WordPress themes that have those type of premium plugins bundled in them. It's dirty, dude.
Well, here's an even bigger dick move. We'll see how big we can make the dick here, because there's a lot of moves here.
What are you doing here? My Schwartz is bigger than yours. I'm just saying.
But these guys that were...
That will not be the show title, by the way, gentlemen.
It was YIT. I forget the... Yep, but here it is. Your inspiration themes. Simone actually wrote a comment. He was representing himself in this theme company, and he specifically said what they do. And he actually came out and admitted this, and I thought it was hilarious. They have a unlimited license purchase for Gravity Forms, so they bundle Gravity Forms with their themes, which they sell on ThemeForest to provide added value. Against all other themes, and when a new update of Gravity Forms comes out, they take that new update of Gravity Forms, repackage it with their themes, and that's how they're providing updates of that plugin to their customers, which is a total abuse of the unlimited license packets by Gravity Forms. I just find that hilarious. I mean, well, that is totally unacceptable.
It's completely legal under the GPL. It's
completely legal under the GPL, but it's not legal. It's not, they're completely violating the terms of service of Gravity Forms, which is why Carl Hancock specifically pointed out that he's probably going to shut down their license key because that's totally not what that license was designed to do, even though you could do that.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, this is a really great post for anybody involved in WordPress at all. It's Kuhn, so don't pronounce it Cohen. He does not like that. Kuhn, who's an amazingly smart guy over at WooThemes, works a lot with WooCommerce, really cool guy. But one thing he suggests is, what should theme authors do? So instead of bundling something like Gravity Forms, promote that your theme's optimized for Gravity Forms and have, specific hooks and ways in your theme that say, hey, is Gravity Forms activated? Yes? All right. Well, then let's go ahead and insert it here and do this and do that. And if not, say, hey, this theme is optimized for Gravity Forms. If you install it, certain things will happen automatically. That's how you can market it rather than bundling Gravity Forms. Just say, hey, this is completely optimized, fully integrates with Gravity Forms. You have to activate it and we'll take care of the rest or whatever it is you want to promote. Do it that way rather than bundle it.
In fact, when I wrote about this on WP Tavern the other day where I said commercial themes that bundle commercial plugins, end users lose in that combination, Otto Samuel Wood had wrote a post on the article and said bundling plugins with a theme is generally considered a bad practice, but what he was doing in his special case was sort of like how you just described. He's building additional functionality in the theme that And then he also puts a suggestion into that theme, say, hey, you might want to install this plugin, take reap the added benefits that's built right into this theme. And I think going that route is much better than bundling an actual plugin with the theme.
You can absolutely say, look, we understand these are popular plugins. These are plugins everybody uses. We work directly with these plugins to optimize. Matt in the chat room even mentions that, you know, maybe including styles. So if you activate Gravity Forms, it'll automatically use the styles so the form works with the theme. Things like that. That's perfect. That's a great way to...
Use an affiliate link. You want to make some cash off of it. Not that I'm a big fan of affiliate links in general, but hell, it's better than bundling this damn thing with this. It's just a total dick move.
Affiliate's perfect. Make some money and let Gravity Forms support them. Why do you want to try to support Gravity Forms or even act like you're supporting it? Send it to somebody else, make a couple bucks on the way, and then start a WordPress news site. It's perfect. Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, and the thing is, at the end of the day, the customers have no idea. They're just like, oh, I can save some money.
They're the real losers in this.
I really think people like, ThemeForest and these marketplaces need to step up and kind of put a squash to that and say, look, that's not cool. You really
should. Well, the good news is, after that post and things were made relevant out in public, ThemeForest did take those two themes down, and the theme author is working to change the themes around that comply with their new standards.
So this was a big wake-up call
for a lot of people.
That's good. So they are doing something about it. They're saying this is not acceptable. You cannot do this. Yes. They're making them fix it.
They took them down immediately.
Next week, there'll be a new site named wpdickmove.com.
There'll probably be a Twitter account tonight.
Hey, GPL, shake your
Johnson. Hey, chat room, is that domain available?
This will happen.
No.
Well, it's certainly a dick move and not a way to do business, in my opinion. It's not a way to add value, and it's certainly something that we should not be adopting. I think that it's going to cause more harm to these vendors over the long run than help. Plugins in general, you actually wrote here this week, Jeff, about how to adopt a plugin or put it up for adoption. This is cool, and I like to break down how the WP Recycle specifically. I get a kick out of that. Let's talk a bit about this a little bit. Where are you going with this? What are you trying to help people with here?
Well, let's see. I was performing a search for a post revisions plugin that I used one time to remove post revisions, and on the plugin repository, I noticed I got this message about this one plugin, the first result, and it said, do not use this plugin. It's empty. Everything is deleted. I says, oh, okay. Well, maybe it shouldn't have shown up in my search results then. So I try to install it. Nothing happens. It's empty. So I send an email to Otto. I says, should this be there? Shouldn't this be removed from the repository? He goes, oh, yeah, look, and I posted a link to the track changes for that plugin. The last thing they did was remove all the files from there, and they just left the listing there. So it really was just an empty plugin. He says, that's not the correct way to go about turning off a plugin on the repository, but he's removed that search result from there. So I started thinking again, okay, well, how do you orphan a plugin or how do you adopt a plugin? And for starters, maybe you guys can chime in on this. Do you guys think orphan plugins is a big deal right now? Will it be a big deal in the future? Will it ever be a big deal? Because we're looking at a repository that has over 25,000 plugins. For chances are, there's got to be 9 plugins for almost every feature you'd want in WordPress.
I think it's a big deal now. I mean, this is something. I was at the community summit last year, and this was a big discussion I sat in on. Was what do you do with? How do you put it up for adoption? How do you properly abandon it? I've actually abandoned. I think abandoned might be the wrong term in some instances. I've actually, I guess, retired some plugins and contacted plugins at WordPress.org and said, hey, I want to remove this plugin. I have no plans to update it. It does not work. I want to get rid of it. And they promptly take it down. But there are a lot of things. There's some really popular plugins. I think one of the best examples, plugins that are abandoned, one of the best examples is the podcasting plugin, PodPress.
The one that initially started the big discussion on the core team.
This was the plugin for podcast, was PodPress, I think it was, right?
Yes.
And they straight up abandoned it, and then it broke, I think, in the next version or two of WordPress, completely broke. And there were like hundreds of thousands of active users using
it. Very angry active users.
Yeah, and they basically went radio silent. No plans, no contact, no responses, nothing. And everyone's like, what do we do? Well, there wasn't a great into that story. Everyone just kind of slowly migrated over to the PowerPress one, but it wasn't somebody came in to save the day. But this is a problem, and I think there needs to be. It'd be nice to see a more official way rather than just email. But at least they are very responsive. If you email plugins at WordPress.org, they're responsive and say, "Hey, I want to adopt this plugin, or I want to fork it. Should I fork it? Should I adopt it? What should I do?" They will talk to you. They will work with you. Like you mentioned in your post, send them some code. Say, "Hey, here's the plugin. I've updated it. I have it over here on GitHub. I have it working with the current version of WordPress. I either want to fork it or I want to adopt it. What do I do?" And send it to them, and they'll work with you, and they'll help you. Say, "All right, well, take it over," or okay, they'll tell you what to do. So it's not super official, but it works, right?
Another site, WP Annie, How to Orphan a Plugin, a Guide. Yeah, man, I'm digging this.
WP Annie, is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm rolling with it, man. Let's do this. Well, hey, let's...
Come out.
Tomorrow, speaking of tomorrow, we need to move onward. We are running out of time here, so let's...
Yes, knew that would happen. I had a feeling this would run long, so we should probably move on.
Yes, we should.
Where are we going to?
Wherever you're taking us, my friend, it's...
I think we need to move on, so let's go ahead and hit the sponsor segment. And today's episode is brought to you by Gravity Forms. Don't put it in your theme, just go buy it. That's the way to do it. That's the way to get support. That's the way to get your updates, man. They're awesome. I mean, supportive. They have an amazing product. It's so justifiable in the cost, it's stupid. 1.7 was recently released. A lot of really cool features in it. They have some new updates to some of their add-ons. They have a cool quiz add-on. You can easily build quizzes with Gravity Forms. It does so much more than forms. It's amazing. Check it out, gravityforms.com. And with that, let's do some bar tricks. So Jeffro promised that he is going to juggle for us today.
I did.
So I'm very excited to check that out. So Jeffro, take it away.
Me too. I'm excited to check that out as well.
Let's see your bar trick.
So my bar trick this week is a site, I don't know if I should spell this out, but it's called wphierarchy.com. This is pretty cool. It's actually an interactive view of the WordPress template system. It was designed by Michelle Schulp, pardon me if I'm mispronouncing your name, and coded by Rami Abraham. And what it is, it's a pretty cool, colorful-looking diagram where each template section is a link to its corresponding codex article, making it really easy to learn about what that specific template part does. So if you go to the codex and you look up template system, you'll see an image, an archaic-looking image that has information on it, but it's not really the prettiest-looking thing. Maybe it's not the most informative-looking thing. So if you go to wphierarchy.com, it's just really cool. It gives you a visual display of how the template system works, which files does what, and it links directly to a page on the codex to give you more information. So that's my bar trick.
That's pretty awesome, actually. Yeah, I like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Brad first.
I have one. I had one before we even got started today. Check me out. I'm on the ball.
I'm playing the lottery today.
Yes. Yeah, so Maya is actually a plugin, and it is called, it's a job board plugin, which is cool, called WP Job Manager, released by a guy by the name of Mike Jolly, who has a lot of cool plugins out there. And basically, it's exactly what you think. It's a job board for WordPress. Easy plugin. Activate it. It's got a lot of cool features. People can submit jobs. You can moderate those jobs as an administrator, post them. They can filter by the type of jobs, the categories, full-time, part-time, freelance, intern, that type of stuff. They can filter by location, searches. It's a really cool kind of all-in-one, easy-to-do job directory. WP Daily actually just fired it up on their site for WordPress jobs, and they actually have quite a few cool jobs in there. I mean, they have a job for Bloomberg or something. Like, I mean, they have some decent jobs in I think they've been running it for like a week or two. So definitely check it out. We'll have a link, but if you search WP Job Manager, you can go download it and play with it. It's pretty cool. Nice job, Mike.
I'm going to end it off on more of a morbid note, and my bar trick of the week is WP Funeral Press. Funeral Press is an online website, obituary management, and guest book program for funeral homes and cemeteries. Don't ask me why I'm really bringing this up. I just saw it in the repository and got a super kick out of it. I was giggling like, it's just horrible. Apparently you can come in and manage online obituaries with this thing, Facebook integration, even guestbook comments. So when one of your favorite people croak and you have a website for them, you can throw WP Funeral Press up and document the entire experience. So super awesome on that. Folks, upcoming events. We've got San Francisco coming up July 26th and 28th. Both halves of the Dreadcast will be available on site.
Jeffrey,
I'll be there too.
You'll be there, right?
This will be my first.
Well, then so we will be sharing beverages. Oh yeah,
there might be a fizzy pop or two being dropped that weekend.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there will be.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be good.
I remember back when Jeff didn't drink. Those were,
yeah, those were, yeah, we didn't even get into that.
We've got a couple more. Well, I'm not sure on the last one, but we're Camp Europe for sure, October 5th through the 7th. As of right now, Brett and I will be at. Then there's also Pressnomics 2 coming up October 17th through the 19th. Logistics are still being worked out on that one. So that is it for upcoming events that at least we'll be at together or propose to be together. We'll see how this all goes from there. Closing words. Hey, Jeff, where can everybody find you? We know at WP Tavern. We know at WPTavern.com, certainly. But where can we find you personally? Do you have an online hangout you'd like to chat about?
Well, if you want to know where you can find me, just ask the NSA. They know everything, apparently. No, you just find me at WPTavern.com. I'm hanging out there on the website all day long, on Twitter, at WPTavern. And, in fact, I can make a little bit of announcement. We did this last Friday, I think it was. WP Tavern has its own fan page on Facebook. So if you have a Facebook account, go look up WPTavern.com and be a fan. Like it.
Love it.
I'm going to be working on it here. I'm going to be working on it in a little bit here and going to improve upon it in the future.
Man, where can we find you, Mr. Ba?
I'm all over. Just search, you know, Brad, WordPress. I don't know. I'm on Twitter, WilliamsBA. That'd be cool if you track me down there. So,
well, that's awesome. Well, hey, Mr. Jeff,
I really talked them into it, didn't I?
Yeah, they're like, yeah.
What about you, Dre? You never tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, they don't need to find me. If they're finding me, it's bad news. Jeff, I'd like
to. Your site's been hacked, and you have to fix it.
Something's really screwed up. I'd really like to thank you for coming on board for this episode. It was awesome. A lot of great discussion. I wish you infinite luck in the WP Tavern and how that progresses back to life and any other ventures you get involved with. Thanks for bringing that resource to us, and we hope to be a part of it moving forward.
Thank you. Yeah. It's my pleasure, and I just want to go on record saying I have the best boss in the world.
I love it. At Dre Maida to find me, folks. This is, again, Dre and Brad signing off for episode 16 along with a pirate flag behind Brad's head. Reminds us of Goonies and Sloth and Baby Ruth. So I love ya. Have a good one. This is the Dragcast signing off. I'm out.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dragcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dragcast website at dragcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dragcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dragcast. Drag.